Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, Northern Ireland's voters go to the polls next week to return 18 MPs to Westminster, with speculation that the results could upset the balance in the newly reformed Stormont Assembly. The DUP is under pressure in several directions. The newly appointed leader, Gavin Robinson, is struggling to defend the deal which was delivered by Geoffrey Donaldson, and is also facing a strong challenge for his own East Belfast seat from Alliance Party leader and serving Justice Minister Naomi Long. Well, to talk about this and what's at stake for the different parties, I'm joined by Professor of Social Policy at Ulster University, Deirdre Heenan, and Unionist commentator and columnist Alex Kane. And you're both very welcome to the programme. Alex, I'll start with you. I mean, it's probably safe to say there's been a fairly low-key campaign so far, in Northern Ireland at least, but we won't downplay the high-stakes game here at play for the DUP. Can you just run us through the jeopardy that they face?
Morning. Well, I think that the main problem for the Democratic Unionist Party is that their leader, Gavin Robinson, who's only been fully in post for 3 weeks, is having a very tight fight with leader of the Alliance Party, Naomi Long, a fight which he may lose. Now, if he loses that seat, the nightmare scenario for the DUP, and it's likely rather than improbable, is that Gavin Robinson loses his seat. The DUP may also lose a seat up in South Antrim, which is the Ulster Unionists might take. They may also lose another seat to Alliance, and their overall vote may go down. And the problem with that, if that is the outcome, then the Democratic Unionist Party is going to come under an awful lot of internal pressure from people saying, well, we're taking this hit because of the deal done under the previous leader, Geoffrey Donaldson, but a deal which Gavin Robinson stood over. He stood behind Donaldson at every single one of the press conferences pushing this. And if that is the case, if that is what happens, if the DUP does take that hit and does get the internal ructions, then I would not be surprised if there are elements of the DUP who say, let's withdraw from the Assembly, let's put more pressure on the government, because if they think they're losing because their presence in the Assembly over a bad deal is damaging them, they will get out fairly quickly, I suspect.
Do you agree, Deirdre, with that assessment, that this could result in the DUP deciding to opt out of Stormont?
Well, I think it could, but really it highlights the volatility of politics in Northern Ireland. So we thought when we had Stormont back, we would be into a settled period. Remember the clamour to get our devolved institutions back? Obviously, this general election came at a time when people didn't expect it. We were expecting an autumn general election, and by then you would have thought that Gavin Robinson might have had time to put his imprimatur in the party to deal with the internal divisions over the Irish Sea border. But clearly there is internal chaos, and his defence of his position is very difficult to watch. He's basically saying there was no Irish Sea border, it was wiped away. He stood at the shoulder of Geoffrey Donaldson when he said that. Now he's saying, well, it is still there, but we're going to get rid of it. It's mixed messaging. People are unconvinced by what he is saying, and he is in danger of losing his own seat. And as Alex rightly said, what we are not sure is what would be the implications if he lost his seat. Could the leader of the DUP, could he continue in that role? Seems very unlikely. We're not really sure who would take over. And then what would the implications be for the party, but also for the devolved institutions in the north? Could they continue if, for example, a more hardline candidate took over and said, we now want to resile from this agreement, we don't think it's what's best for us? But these are all ifs and ands, and I suppose in what you have described as a very lacklustre campaign, it's this battle of the political heavyweights in East Belfast that we are focusing on, because we realise that this is the one that really can have real implications for the political landscape.
Mm-hmm. Now, Alex, you touched on the Alliance Party and the challenges that they're putting up to the DUP in some constituencies. And in the last Stormont election, there was a big swing towards the Alliance Party. They were very transfer friendly. But how does that look in a first past the post Westminster election?
Well, it certainly looks much better than it did 5 years ago, because the Alliance Party has continued to grow. Indeed, it's the only political party in Northern Ireland over the past few years that is putting on its votes and seats in election after election. And I think also with the confusion in unionism, and there is, in some constituencies, you had three separate unionist parties with three separate nuanced different messages. And I think particularly in middle class areas, if you like, places like East Belfast, places like Lagan Valley, places like Strangford, I think the big fear for unionism would be that some of those softer unionists, I always describe them as small U unionists, they would vote to remain in the United Kingdom if there were a border poll, but they seem to have increasing difficulty with voting for, if you like, political unionism in Northern Ireland. They feel fairly comfortable with Alliance, because while Alliance is agnostic on the union, it says we don't take a position one way or the other. For a lot of unionists, they're fairly comfortable with that. And I was a bit more sceptical maybe 6 months ago, but I'm beginning to think that there is a drift of that small new unionism to Alliance as a safe option. It's a message that they're confused with mainstream unionism. They don't understand. They've been told, as Deirdre says, oh, the border poll's gone. Oh, no, it's not. Well, we want this. No, we don't. The assembly might collapse and more instability. So some of those people, I think, will be tempted, maybe in large enough numbers to make a difference in three seats. And if Alliance gets three seats at the expense of the DUP, that's another huge problem for unionism, because, again, we could end up with, of the 18 Northern Ireland seats, we could end up with just a third of them in unionist hands and the rest in non-unionist hands. And that is psychologically damaging.
And Deirdre, do you see that happening, that there's a drift from the hard line into some place more around the centre in Northern Ireland politics?
Oh, we're definitely seeing that move towards the centre. Even within the DUP, you can see that the party themselves are moving more towards the centre and away from that hardline TUV type of rhetoric. The difficulty here, I think, is Westminster's first-past-the-post voting system means that general elections in Northern Ireland regularly just become ethnic headcounts between nationalism and unionism in Northern Ireland, and people are tired of that. So there are other options to say, I don't want to be part of that, so I'm going to vote for Alliance. They may, in fact, vote differently in local assembly elections where it's transfer, and they may give a transfer, but give a first preference to unionism. This time you have one vote, and people may say, you know, I'm really fed up with this. Victory in two or three seats would really turbocharge the Alliance, and again would make us look at this so-called Alliance surge. Defeat for Gavin Robinson would really upend the party that is still reeling from the downfall of Geoffrey Donaldson. I think if the DUP lose any seat, it's possible that Sinn Féin will emerge as the biggest party in Westminster. That's a clean sweep for them, the biggest party in local government, the biggest party in the local assembly, the biggest party in Westminster. So there is quite a lot at stake in terms of psychologically, where does unionism sit, where does nationalism sit, and what direction are we going with? But I think Alliance, for many people, provide the opportunity to break that Sinn Féin DUP duopoly. And they don't, if they don't want to be part of that, or they feel it's not delivering, then I think what we're seeing is that after a string of successes, the party is now becoming a key challenger. It's not just on the margins or in some areas, but in general in Northern Ireland, it's seen as a challenger to this narrative that we've had for so long, them ones and us ones, and you have to decide.
Now, you mentioned Sinn Féin there, Deirdre, and is that what success looks like for Sinn Féin, that they would have the clean sweep and become the largest party, Northern Irish party in Westminster? Is anything less failure for Sinn Féin?
I don't think so. This has been an extraordinarily low-key campaign for Sinn Féin. In some cases, the posters have only gone up a week ago. They don't seem to be engaged at all in this debate, even in the leadership debates. It's been very low-key. Essentially, they have seven seats, and they are safe seats, and they are seeking to defend those seats. If they get another seat, then of course they'll be delighted, or if the DUP lose seats, but they're not actively fighting, for example, to decapitate Colm Eastwood in Foyle. They seem to have largely accepted that his majority won't be overturned this time. They don't seem to be actively fighting in other seats. So for them, their narrative is basically saying, this election is really not that relevant to us. They're ironically fighting on a campaign of change. Well, that's interesting given that they've been in government here for 17 years. if they're going to deliver change, one might wonder why they haven't delivered it to date. They're also talking about leadership, and as we know, they don't take their seats. I don't think abstentionism is a big issue anymore for Sinn Féin supporters. They accept that their supporters do not take their seats, but Westminster is a difficult one for them to really argue with in any convincing way, because you're asking for a vote, but then basically saying this whole Parliament is irrelevant to us, and Tory austerity is because this is the result of Tory austerity. So it's a difficult narrative for them, and I feel they really haven't engaged at all this time. Last time, of course, there was a huge push to get in people who were anti-Brexit. We don't have that overarching narrative, and really it appears to be quite apathetic in terms of this election.
OK, and then moving to the UUP, and Deirdre just touched on Robin Swan there, who is best known for being the health minister throughout the COVID times. Alex, do you think that he has a chance for the UUP to take that seat, given that they're in a very sticky position overall?
Well, he's their best chance of taking the seat of the 18. He is the best. And that's partly because of his profile. And he's not even standing. He's in the Assembly. He sat in North Antrim, so they've moved him to South Antrim. Now, the two things are that the first thing is there is an Ulster Unionist, there's a Democratic Unionist, and there's the Traditional Unionist. So that's the three variations I was talking of earlier. There is a possibility, if Alliance have a good day, in other words, that their vote, the surge continues and continues equally, if you like, it's equally spread across Northern Ireland, then there's a possibility that Alliance could actually sneak in under the radar in South Antrim, which would be helpful for them, devastating for the Ulster Unionist Party. The Ulster Unionist Party is desperate to get a seat. It hasn't had any since 2015. It held them for only 2 years. Its vote is continuing to go down. It needs influence. It needs power. It needs people to believe in unionism, that it's worth voting for. But the problem is, and Deirdre will know this as well, the biggest drift within unionism, from political unionism to the Alliance, has over the past 5 or 6 years come from the Ulster Unionist Party. If the Ulster Unionist Party cannot win seats, then at the next election, increasing numbers of people within soft unionism and harder unionism will say, what is the relevance? What is the point of the Ulster Unionist Party? But set against that, and this is ironic, is that what is happening to the DUP right now in terms of being terrified of how many seats it could lose, how many votes it could lose, is exactly what happened to the UUP 20 years ago. So what we're seeing in this, and it may become clearer in this election than we've seen for quite some time, is it's not a tipping point for unionism. But if this election turns out as I think it might turn out, then unionism really is going to have to sit down, and all the manifestations, all the groupings, all the factions, all the parties within, we've four, but technically five unionist parties floating about Northern Ireland. They're going to have to sit down and work out why their vote is continuing to fall, and crucially, why their vote is falling in favour of Alliance Party, who every single unionist party describes as a nationalist.
Right. All right. Well, some answers will be clear in 9 days when we get to that election. All right. Listen, thank you both very much, Alex Kane and Deirdre Heenan. Coming up next, Julian Assange has walked free from prison. We'll get the latest on that after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.